welcome to another episode of the Jazz Transcription Clinic podcast live. Today we are analyzing the solo that I just played. It's a wonderful solo played by Branford Marsalis, the great American saxophone player, on the tune called Strutting with Some Barbecue. It's an old standard, jazz standard, attributed to Louis Armstrong's wife, and they also had a very long trial in tribunal to get the paternity of that song, and eventually Louis Armstrong's wife won the trial. But anyway, what we like here is that this is a concert that Branford Marsalis played with his whole family. So there is his dad playing the piano and all his brothers playing trumpet, of course Winton, and playing trombone and drums. So let's start the analysis of this wonderful solo that comprises a mixture, an actually great mixture of traditional jazz language and bebop language. So as usual, I have used Sound Slice as a platform to make the transcription and to play the transcription and also to practice the transcription. I have already created a number of clips subdividing the solo in different parts. So let's start the analysis with the form analysis. Strutting with Some Barbecue is a 32 bars song divided in A, B, A, C. Each section is 8 bars, so 32 in total, is in concert F major, so it's written for soprano saxophone here, which is in B flat, so it will be in G major written out. The harmony is pretty simple, opens with a very long section of C major. The form is very simple. It opens with a very long section on F major to prepare going into the B section with these 2 bars in E7. And then there is A minor 7 in the starting of the bridge here, and immediately going towards the 6th of G major, which is E minor, transitioning with B7 flat 9 into E minor. So the analysis will be 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 6, 6, and then 2, and then this will be 3, 6. 2 bars, and then we go to the 2 again as a secondary dominant to precede the dominant 2 bars here of D7. And then there is another A, which we already saw. It's 4 bars of G major, and then this time we go towards a C major. So we introduce here the G7 chord, and we will see that Branford Marsalis is making the most out of that G7 chord. He is in total command of the harmony, of course. And on the C, there is a simple turnaround, very common in those days, C major, so it would be the 4, minor 4, to go back to the 1, 6, 2, 5, 1, and 5. A peculiarity is that at the end of the second chorus, as Branford Marsalis is playing 2 choruses, the turnaround is a little bit different. There is a small variation. So, and probably they didn't even decide to do so. Those are both very common turnaround in jazz. So 4, sharp 4 diminished to go to the 1 with the 5th at the bass, and then 6, 2, 5, 1. All right, so very simple harmony, and also the phrasing of Branford Marsalis, as we will see, is very simple and is just gorgeous, right? Let's start the analysis with the first A on the first chorus. So with Sound Slice, you can create actually all the clips, they call it clips, and subdivide your transcription in the sections that you can then loop, you can slow down, you can do a lot of things. You can transpose if you are right on a different instrument. You can do really whatever you like. All right, let's start the analysis. So he's opening with a very bouncy, simple line. So it's evident first that rhythmically, Branford Marsalis is very dynamic. He changes a lot. There is a great combination of high notes, quarter notes, triplets, as we can see also in this open. The other thing that we can notice is that the first chord, the one chord, the tonic chord, I put G6 because the tonic chord is always a 6 chord or a 6-9 chord. For those of you who are familiar with the real book, we need to remember that on real book, the guy who wrote the real book always put a major 7 chord, right, for the tonic chord. But the major 7 chord adds, with the major 7, that flair, that little taste of melancholic feelings, or a bit sadness, a bit of sadness is added. The major 7 chord is not a fully, you know, happy and major chord. So it's better, especially because we are transcribing a traditional song, it's better to use the major 6th chord symbol. Right, I almost forgot to say, guys, please subscribe to my channel. It means a lot when I see that the subscriptions are going up, so I can create more content and make every one of you happier. So, as I said, Branford Marsalis, of course, thinks G6, but he's making a good use of this tool, which is alternating the 6th and the 7th, as you can see here, the major 7th, the 6th again, and the major 7th. And this is a very common tool that you can do when you have a long period on the same chord, on a major chord. Eventually, you can introduce also the E flat. So that's almost Blues for Alice, right? From Charlie Parker. So you can, you know, fill in those four bars on the G6 chord, playing, moving the upper note in the chord from a 6 to a major 7, or going down to a 6 flat 6 and then landing on the 5. So this is the first on this bar, this is the first chromatic approach. So we are transitioning into a more bebop language here with this enclosure to D A. So D, B, A is what he thinks, but he plays the enclosure with A sharp, F sharp, and then landing on the A. And then finally we have a different chord, E7, and Branford is not missing the chance to play a chord tone, a very important note. Guys, chord tones, the 3 and the 7, of each chord are defining the sound of the chord, so those will be the most important notes, or the safer notes to play when you improvise. So Branford is no stranger to this technique. Beautiful. And then approach note again. And then we are going into the B section. The B section starts in A minor, as we've seen before, to go to B7 into E minor. And A minor, he just simply plays a descending arpeggio. Right? And then going with an approach note to the tonic of B7. And then the resolution on E minor, look at that. On E minor, he is playing fundamentally an arpeggio. And this is quite typical back in those days in the early jazz, right? mainly they were playing quartons and arpeggio. But please pay attention to the articulations. I tried to make that evident and to write as much as I could to be precise and to be more accurate. Right? What do you play on E minor? Play the arpeggio, right? And that's good. And then he lands again on the B, which will be the 9 of A7. And there is this little quick phrase going to the 13 here, which he repeats. And then a beautiful phrase on the dominant resolving on the 1. Now, when you start practicing jazz, when you want to improve at improvisation, guys, 5-1. Those are the moments where you need skills and you need to form your vocabulary based on those 5-1s. Listen to this gorgeous phrase. Right? Beautiful. There is the bebop scale here with both the 7s, C sharp and C natural, over the chord D7, the descending one. And then again another arpeggio going up to the 13, and then chord tone resolving on the tonic. Ta-ti-do. And then approach note to the 3rd, approach note to the 6th. Do, 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 do. So that line is beautiful and creates the tension. Right? And you want to resolve there. And it's gorgeous. So very simple phrase, but played with a very solid timing and a gorgeous articulation, a gorgeous inflections. That makes that line, which is very simple, sounding great. All right, let's keep going. 2nd A. Di-do-do-do-da-da-da-ba-ba-di-da-da-do-da. So this is a great example of a bebop concept applied to an arpeggio. Look at that. Di da do do di da 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 di da da do da. So the arpeggio notes are G, right? D, B, and G here. He plays one approach note from a tone above and then a semitone below, going to the major 7th, 6th, landing into the 5th, and then again another bridge going into the B from below, and then the enclosure around the G with semitone below, a tone above, semitone below, and target. So that's how you can make this idea, which is G6 major arpeggio descending, you can make it sound really jazz by simply adding approach notes and enclosures. Right? Fantastic. Fantastic idea. And as I mentioned before, we are heading to C major, so there is G7 coming. And guess what? Branford Marsalis changes from F sharp to F natural to give the dominant sound and to create the tension towards C. So F over G7 is one of the guide tones, is the 7th, which will resolve into E. Let's see, and let's hear this line. So as you can see, da ba da ba da ba di da 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 da. Again, there is the bebop scale descending with both the 7s, F sharp and F natural, resolving into E over C major. Da, da, da. Right? And this is what you need to do. The chord is G7. Make clear that the seventh is descending onto the third. Right? And then at the very end of the second A, there is those four notes. That's another beautiful enclosure. B, D, C sharp, B. And guess what would be the note? Right here. It's still C major, the chord, in the first bar of the C. And this is a four-note enclosure to resolve on C. You see? Ba, ba, do, do, do. Right? Beautiful. That's great. C major, C minor, he puts E flat, of course, resolving on another guide tone over G6, put the third, and then landing on the 9 of E7, and then A minor, again another descending arpeggio, D7, and ascending arpeggio, resolving on the tonic, and another arpeggio. Right, so you can see very simple ideas based on arpeggios, most likely. And when he wants to be a little bit more chromatic, he adds some approach notes to the arpeggio or some enclosures. So instead of playing just, which sounds much, much better, isn't it? All righty. Let's keep going. Second chorus, first A. Again, four bars or five bars in G6. What do you do? Bunch of arpeggios, a bunch of enclosures. Look at this one. Di-do, di-do, do. Right? The target note is, of course, G, which is the tonic here. And he plays di bo di bo do. Right? That's how you do it. Again, arpeggio on the sixth because he thinks the chord G6. Di do di do do di do di do. Di de do di do. He's playing on the arpeggio. Do di do da dum. Ba da ba de di da di do 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 da. Right, again on E7 there is another ninth, as we've seen in the C section. This time he also plays the 13 of this chord, which he hasn't played before. He has never played the note C sharp as part of a chord. He did play in an enclosure, but not as part of the chord. So here he wants to stress out that this E7 is fakely leading into A major, but he's going to A minor, resolving on the third. Again, how many times he resolves on either the 3 and the 7? And the answer is guide tones. Those are the most important and safer notes. All right, let's go to the bridge of the second chorus, which is here. Beautiful, beautiful. Again, another great line similar to the one that he played at the start. Remember, I think from memory he played at the beginning of the solo. Right? And here he plays. So this is how you can get into the language of one specific player. When you transcribe a lot, you will start seeing similarities. Right? the F sharp on the E7 chord, and then some lines that are exactly the same, the use of the triplets that is exactly the same. Sometimes it's not just exactly the same, but there is a small change which makes the phrasing sounding different, but actually it's not. It's just a, maybe a last minute turn at the end of the phrase, or the approach is different, but that line is so embedded in his fingers that he's able to pull it out without any, you know, stress or major thinking. The other tool that I love, absolutely love here, is this one, which is like a rhythmical illusion, like if it's changed meter. It sounds like if it's in 3-4, do ba do ba bu di do di do de do, do di do di do di do di do de do di do de do, right? Almost in 3-4, it's called hemiolas when you create that illusion, and it's also based on seventh intervals on the A Mixolydian scale. So there I could say you can easily extract a fabulous exercise for you. You know, you want to practice and have some interesting lines at your disposal all the time. Start practicing on seventh intervals over A Mixolydian. So example, you can do right, you practice all the seventh, or you can practice that rhythm, do da 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 do di do da do de do. Right, and maybe over a different chord progression. So this is how you practice your transcriptions. I love, for example, I would love to transcribe that line onto the music notebook. I know I'm old, I'm very old-fashioned, and I still use, right, notes, and sometimes I write lines that I want to practice. For example, or maybe it's not here, let me see, here I have all songs, but you can really write down, right, you can take notes of things that you hear and just, you know, make a quick exercise out of it that will keep you busy for several days for sure. All right, let's keep going to the second A of the second chorus, right? And here we are. And again, right, four bars over G6, he plays chromatically. So he's connecting here the B to the D in a chromatic way, and then the G to the B chromatically, again going chromatically, little enclosure, F sharp, a number of F sharp, and guess what? Chord becomes G7, and boom, F natural, right? So he's, you know, a great player indeed, but those things, we need to make those things happening without thinking. So in your mind, there is the G7 coming and your finger automatically switch. How you learn that? You practice a lot, right? Especially around the guide tones. So make that switch from F sharp to G7 to F natural becoming automatic, but just practicing the switch, those two notes. All right, and then C major, another great arpeggio, and then the last C is coming, the last eight bars of the solo, where the climax is. Right, this case, the climax is reached two-thirds or even three-fourths towards the end. So that's pretty common that you reach the climax when you play maybe higher notes or with more energy, longer lines. But sometimes the climax can be midway to the solo. Very rarely is at the beginning of your solo, or sometimes the climax is at the very end of the solo, so you leave with a bang, right? And so here there is the C sharp diminished, but he plays actually a C diminished chord to make it sounding like a dominant resolution to the tonic chord, which is G. And then E7, he plays the tonic and the seventh, of course. Here, A minor 7, there is an arpeggio. D7, of course, there is the F sharp coming up again. And then another enclosure here, wonderful resolving on the third of G6 at the very end of this extremely long phrase. Right? Beautiful. So, language is basically perfect. A mixture of traditional jazz language and bebop language. So, lots of arpeggios, and then you can add approach notes and enclosures to sound it more towards bebop language. But you need to have a wonderful tone, a strong time feel, and a great, great feeling when you play. So, easy. No, not really, but we can practice. All right, guys, remember to like and subscribe to my channel, and I'll see you next time for another great transcription and solo. Goodbye.